Poster, Claudine at School, 1900. Read for you by Sylvia Whitman. Anyone walking around Paris in 1900, inspecting the displays in bookshop windows and the posters papering the still relatively new advertising columns, would no doubt have noticed one advert for a particular book appearing quite often. Claudine at School. In the middle of the poster, they would have seen a young woman with short, dark hair and a black schoolgirl-style dress with a large collar. She looked boldly, almost challengingly, out at the viewer, and her name, Claudine, stood in capital letters above her head. This was the year of the Paris Exposition, the first metro line, and the pardoning of Alfred Dreyfus. But if you'd picked up your ears during the entr'acte at the opera, and eavesdropped on the city's fashionable residence, you would likely have heard her name above all others. Claudine this, Claudine that. Have you read Claudine yet? Depending on who was speaking, you might have heard that it was an absolute scandal. Appalling. Tasteless. Or maybe it was charming, refreshing, funny, and just wonderfully naughty. If you'd asked a young woman, she'd have said Claudine was fantastic, a character in whom the young woman of the day, 1900, could recognise themselves. Claudine and the novel of which she was the heroine, Claudine at School, were the sensation in France in those early years of the new century. You either loved or hated her. No one was ever indifferent, at least not if they wanted to join the conversation. And yet the story itself was pretty banal. A 15-year-old girl from the provinces recounting her final year at school, her everyday life between the wide open fields and narrow school benches, her pranks, friendships, dreams and first flirtations. Nothing special then. But she relayed all this in a manner such as had never been read before, in language that was fresh and free, that sounded as though this young girl were speaking directly to the reader, as though you really were in the company of this clever, impudent teenager. More than that, the book addressed topics that weren't discussed at the time, much less written about, a very young woman's sexual desires, which weren't necessarily directed at young men, but perhaps just as much towards women. It was exciting, thrilling, but also quite the scandal. Straight-laced society was outraged. Since when had young girls been interested in sex? Homosexual sex to boot. And above all, since when did they learn so much about it? Were the young women of this new century no longer naive and passive? Was the end of the good girl nigh? Paris seethed with outrage while secretly swooning over this brazenly modern character. Young women were especially enthusiastic. Finally, someone had written down what they really thought and felt, had captured how confusing that stage between childhood and womanhood is. Finally, someone had told the world that girls too had sexual feelings and absolutely weren't strangers to desire. That they wanted things and sometimes even dared to do them. But most of all, that even young ladies had opinions and voices. In the space of just 2 months, an unbelievable 40,000 copies of the book were sold. And suddenly the streets, parks and squares of Paris were filled with Claudines. Young women who'd squeezed themselves back into their former schoolgirl look and now walked around wearing black dresses, long stockings and the characteristic white Peter Pan collar that to this day is known in France as a col Claudine, thanks to this novel. There were Claudine hats, Claudine face powder, Claudine cigarettes, Claudine perfume. The patisserie La Boisie even made a Claudine cake and Claudine ice cream. Paris was in the grip of Claudine mania. Every woman wanted to be as cheeky and liberated as she was. Willie, whose name appears so prominently on this poster as the author, was roundly celebrated for his legendary coup. But there was always one unanswered question hanging in the air. How could Henri Gauthier-Villars, aka Willy, knows so much about what a schoolgirl would be thinking and doing. The answer, of course, suggested itself immediately, from his wife, Sidonie Gabrielle Colette, known simply as Colette. At that time, Colette was 27 years old. She came from a small village in the Bourgogne and had landed in Paris after marrying Willy 7 years before. Claudine at school, as well as Claudine in Paris, Claudine married, and Claudine and Annie, all published to just as much acclaim over the years that followed, must surely have been inspired by her unconventional childhood. Oh, come off it. They weren't just inspired by her. She was their author. When he first read the manuscript of Claudine at school, Willy thought it rubbish. But according to Colette, when he got it back out of the drawer a year later, he cried, "Mon Dieu, I'm an idiot," and ran straight to the nearest publisher. Of course, at that time, the general rule that had forced the Brontes, George Eliot and George Sand to write under male pseudonyms was still in force, namely that a book sold better with a man's name on the cover. And so Claudine's adventures were published as Willy's work. What happened next only exemplified the impossible situation of women writers at the time. Willy didn't just garner fame as a result of this bestseller, but also pocketed all the cash. Even after their divorce, when it had long been established that Colette was the real author, the proceeds continued to go to him until he finally sold the series rights. Colette herself never saw a penny, and it would still be several decades before her name appeared on the front cover. Happily, she took her revenge in the decades that followed. No one knows what Willy did after Claudine. Most people have probably never even heard of him, whereas Colette became an icon. She was worshipped for the autonomous life she led, for her open bisexuality, for her many marriages and scandalous affairs, and for her work as a journalist, actress, and later owner of a beauty salon. But above all, for the almost 50 novels she wrote after Claudine, which made her a role model for a great number of women writers in the first half of the 20th century. No one else is quoted in Simone de Beauvoir's The Second Sex as often as she is, 22 times to be precise. She was, de Beauvoir said, the first person to describe in her novels all the different life stages of a woman, from teenager to mature lady, and to put into words all the feelings that accompany them. Some 54 years later, when Françoise Sagan described how it felt to be a young woman in the 1950s in her novel Bonjour Tristesse, she sent one of the very first copies to her role model, Colette. She wrote, "For Madame Colette, in the hope that this book will bring you even 1/100th of the joy your books brought me. In homage, Françoise Sagan."